tell me of a home far beyond the skies. Oh, they tell me of a home far away. Oh, they tell me of a home where no storm clouds rise. Oh, they tell me of an unclouded day. Oh, the land of cloudless day. Oh, the land of an unclouded sky. Oh, they tell me of a home where no storm clouds rise. Oh, they tell me of an unclouded day. Oh, they tell me of a home where my friends have gone. Oh, they tell me of that land far away, where the tree of life in eternal bloom sheds its fragrance through the unclouded day. Oh, the land of cloudless day. Oh, the land of an unclouded sky. Oh, they tell me of a home where no storm clouds rise. Oh, they tell me of an unclouded day. Oh, they tell me of the King in His beauty there. And they tell me that mine eyes shall behold where He sits on the throne that is whiter than snow, in that city that is made of gold. Oh, the land of cloudless day. Oh, the land of an unclouded sky. Oh, they tell me of a home where no storm clouds rise. Oh, they tell me of an unclouded day. Oh, they tell me that He smiles on His children there, and His smile drives their sorrow all away. And they tell me that no tears never come again in that lovely land of unclouded day. Oh, they tell me of an unclouded day. Oh, they tell me of the King in His beauty there. And they tell me that mine eyes shall behold where He sits on the throne that is whiter than snow, in that city that is made of gold. Oh, cloudless day. Oh, the land of an unclouded sky. Oh, they tell me of a home where no storm clouds rise. Oh, they tell me of an unclouded day. Oh, the land of cloudless day. Oh, the land of an unclouded sky. Oh, they tell me of a home where no storm clouds rise. Oh, they tell me of an unclouded day.
Wow, what a day, what a day, what a day. Are you aware of that day and how soon it is? The coming of the Lord, the day of the saints on that, in that heaven above. A day of rest and peace forevermore. What a friend, what a joy, what a blessedness. Welcome to Open Bible Dialogue, Open Bible Telecast. Not just Open Bible Dialogue anymore. Welcome to all of my radio friends all across the you know, place wherever we are heard. We welcome you. You are very important. You are at the front end of this responsibility that we have. But we welcome those by internet and those by Facebook. God bless all of you. God bless all of you. Let's have a great broadcast. Now, you know we wasn't with you last week because of technical changes, but I think they're fixed. I think. Hey, you understand? I think they're fixed. Well, welcome. God bless all of you. been a fruitful week. Been a quite a week, I must confess, quite a week. But I tell you what, I'm glad to be here. And the message of the Lord is burning in my heart. I said the message of the Lord is burning in my heart. We're going to talk today about demons always seek to return to their victims. Demons always. Nobody has ever been delivered from sin. Nobody's ever been delivered from Satan, from any level of godless living. Nobody that Satan didn't seek to recapture, that Satan didn't seek to return, that Satan didn't seek to take back over again. And if you'll notice, the scripture I'm going to read for you is when those demons go back to try to take over or recapture a life, they call it home. They call it home. See, if you ever let your life become an instrument of living for the old devil, you need to remember that you will be facing him. Well, you're going to be facing him forever anyway. But you'll really be facing him in worse degree if he was ever the master of your life, because he will call that home. I want to read it to you. Let's go to the book of St. Matthew. The book of St. Matthew, this is chapter 12. You've got to hear this now. Everybody on this broadcast, everybody who loves this broadcast, everybody who loves what we're doing, everybody who's a partner with me, and you have paid the bills, this is something you really need to hear. You really do. Now notice it in the book of Matthew 12, verse 43. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man. Now, you've got to understand here, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, there are people who are possessed, but there are people who are obsessed. There are people who are obsessed. There are people who are influenced. And to everybody that the devil comes against you, which is everybody, if you're not a saint of God, then you're serving the enemy. If you don't belong to Jesus, you belong to the world, and Satan is the god of this world. So in essence, if you don't belong to Jesus, you belong to Satan. You belong to the devil. And when he goes out of you, when he leaves, when he's cast out, when you're delivered from his power, when you're born again, when you're washed in the blood, when you're transformed or changed, then he saith, I will return. I will return to my home. Notice he says, I will return into my home. See, Satan wants to call you his home. Now, you and I know better, but he don't know better. It's his choice. It's his determination. He wants to rule your life. So Satan is determined. I'm telling you, he's determined. But he says, I will return to my home from whence I came out. And when he is come, now notice, and when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Now, we're going to talk about that business of empty, swept, and garnished in a little bit. And I think you're going to learn something. I did when the Holy Spirit was teaching it to me. I knew I was learning something very, very important. Then goeth he and taketh with him seven other spirits, more wicked than himself. And they enter in and dwell therein. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. The last state of that man, anytime a person backslides, they're always in worse condition in their backslid state as they were before they were even converted to start with. One, because the devil has learned the door into their life, and the devil wants to keep coming back and find that same door open. That's why people who have lived in certain sins, if they backslide, they go back to those sins, because those sins were the door by which Satan entered to start with. So Satan seeks to find that same open door, and sinners go back to those same open sins when they turn from God. And they enter in and dwell therein, and the last state of the man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation. Even so, now this is Jesus talking. This is not preacher chambers. This is not some good pastor down the street from your house. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's telling you that Satan leaves you. He's driven away. You win the victory over him. Maybe you were possessed. Maybe you were just obsessed. Maybe you were just oppressed. There's three levels of Satan's activity. Oppress you, obsess you, and possess you. Obsession is when he is influencing you. Possession is when he dwells in you. Oppression is when he from without is constantly haggling you and bothering you. And any time in any of those cases that he is driven away from you, he is going to seek to come back. Now, this is a very important truth, because it gives you the responsibility to keep your vessel so protected that Satan can never come back and take over your life again. Now, notice when he comes back, he finds you empty and swept and garnished. Now, if you look at that, that's the soul and the spirit and the old flesh. The soul and the spirit, an empty soul, a spirit that has been swept clean of the influence of the Holy Ghost, and a flesh that's been given over to the intoxications of sin, to the drunkenness of sin. I don't mean whiskey. I mean any kind of worldly drunkenness. And Satan comes looking for you in that state. And the last state is worse than to begin with. Now, I want you today to learn some things about the devil. I want you to learn some things you've got to be aware of. You say, Reverend Chambers, I don't even want to learn about the devil. All right, then you play the part of a fool. You play the part of a fool when you don't want to learn your enemy and know his tactics and know what he does to capture you, to know how he comes against you, to know how he hates the true gospels of the Bible. And he will try to distort the Word of God. We've got a multitude of people in our ranks today that used to be, you know, Bible-believing, pre-tribulation people who are turning away. And they go into all kinds of end-time theologies, and they're making a fool out of themselves. They're messing up their life. They're messing up many other people. And they really are messing up the kingdom of God and the work of the church of Jesus Christ. Now, let me tell you 9 things that you need to learn about the old devil. Okay? These are very, very important. The devil and all of his demons can do paranormal things. Not supernatural, but paranormal. Now, you are normal. You do normal things, natural things. The devil does paranatural things or paranormal things. He does things that are bigger than you, but not as big as God. See, he's in the middle between. He's the God of this world. Our Heavenly Father is the Heavenly Father, the God of eternity, the God of the universe. And Satan has this paranormal power. And if you don't know that, you better learn that. He can put things in your mind that you wouldn't even think you would ever think about. Have you ever had an old nasty dream in the middle of the night and you wonder where it came from? Well, I'm going to tell you where it came from. It came from the devil. I mean, it's just simple. The devil is after you, and he will never give up. He will never give up. But you can win the victory, because the power of the Bible and the power of the Holy Spirit and the power of the blood of Jesus breaks all the power of the devil. So remember, now I don't want you to forget this. If you're watching Facebook, then you see it at the top of the screen there, right above my picture. Sorry about that. But right above me there, as I'm bringing you this broadcast. And you can read these very things I'm reading to you. Number one, he is paranormal. He can do paranormal things. He can do things that boggle your mind. See, the devil titillates the flesh, but God never titillates the flesh. The devil will use anything to titillate you. He'll make you feel so religious that you'll be shouting in some church aisle without even being born again. I've heard of many people that go to church, go to gospel singing. We're having a gospel singing tonight, old-fashioned Southern gospel right here. Well, there'll be people who don't go to church. They'll come in and want to shout in the middle of good gospel singing. And Satan gives them these powers of religion because he wants to deceive them. He wants to keep them in their sins. And the devil is paranormal. Don't you ever forget that now. Please don't. Whatever a demon does, it is to capture you and to destroy you. Whatever a demon does, it is to capture you and to destroy you. Satan has no other purpose but to capture and to destroy. He's after capturing you. Whatever he does, it is always to capture you. Number three, a demon's miracle is A demon's power or a demon's miracle is only for the moment. It's temporary. That's the word I was trying to say. It is temporary. It doesn't last on and on. It's temporary. It comes, then it deceives you, and then it's over and it's gone. Now, the demons are organized. Demons are organized. You can go to the Bible, the book of Ephesians 6, and it will show you clearly that there are principalities, there are powers, there are spirits of wickedness in high places. There are four different levels of demon activities. I'll read those for you in a minute because they need to be in your understanding. That the devil has a kingdom of levels of power. Organized. All the devil is organized. And demons actually seek to rise in the level of their powers in the kingdom of Satan, just like you and I may seek to rise in our temporary world or business or even in the church life. And we reach for a higher position. Well, demons do the same. And they fight with one another. And they will destroy you because it gives them leverage with the demons above them and higher than them. When the old devil sends somebody to destroy and they do a good job of destroying them, then they have prestige with Satan. Hey, you say, Brother Chambers, I've never heard that before. Well, I understand. But you got to know that Satan is organized to the T. He is so organized that he can do things that you never would think of him doing. He is after you to destroy you, to make mincemeat out of you. And I got to read for you these four levels because they really do help you understand. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Four different levels. And Satan is organized. And is he laboring? He wants to pin your carcass on the wall of hell and say, that's one of my captives. That's one of my treasures. I stole him from the church. I stole him from his wife. I stole him from his children. Yes, the devil is after making you a trophy in his hell. The devil is after you to make you a trophy. Have you ever heard that before? You need to think about that. You listen to me. The Bible even speaks of a harlot woman would seek for the precious man. She looks for a man who has a reputation, who's pure looking and pure acting, so she can bring him down to her level. That's demons in people that do that. Am I making sense to you? Are you understanding what I'm trying to say? I'm trying to bring you to understand the devil is after you. He really is. They're organized. They're always seeking a higher position. They look for a sign or an evidence from you that you're willing to submit to them. The way you dress will say to the devil, hey, they're looking in your direction. The way you talk will say to the demons, hey, listen to his talk. Boy, he's ready to be one of ours. You know, they're watching everything about you. When a man dresses like a woman, the devil knows to send a sodomite spirit. When a woman dresses like a man, the devil knows to send a sodomite spirit. Oh, Brother Chambers, I've never heard that. Well, you better read your Bible a little more carefully because demons are looking for evidence in you that you are ready to listen to them. They're looking for signs from you that you're ready to go in their way and do their thing. Now, you got to understand that the same is true of both men and women. Don't forget that. You teach your little girls to act like little boys. You're playing the part of a fool for a dear mother. I mean, you really are. You teach her to be a girl from the top of her head to the sole of her feet. You teach that little boy to be a boy. Nothing the devil likes better than to make a man a wimp. A man a wimp. We have so many men in our society that are so wimpy. I'm telling you, it is pathetic. Even colleges now are teaching men not to be masculine. They want men to be feminine. And they want women not to be feminine. They want to make them masculine. All of that's demon stuff, folks. All of that is demon spirits, people. That's devils working to bring our world and make a piece of trash out of it. The devil is after making our world a piece of trash. Do you understand that? And what I'm saying to you is exactly the things he's doing. Now, people who dress, ladies or men, who dress immoral. I mean, you're out showing your body to everybody that passes by. You don't think the demons are seeing that? You don't think the devil's like that? You don't think the devil is talking to that man who sees you half nude and suggesting things in his mind? Friend, I've got to help you understand that devils are for real. They are for real. Now, the last thing I want to say, and there's nine of these, the only lasting protection is the power of Jesus Christ. The only lasting protection is the power of Jesus Christ. Now, we are spending several weeks here doing programs about the end times and the spirit of evil, the spirits of demons, the Antichrist spirit, the Antichrist powers. If you look at the church and you see them going to soft and feminine music, you see them moving away from the old gospel hymns full of theology and moving into the world of the soft and, you know, just they want to do anything they can to make you wimpy and more available. The devil can deal with a wimpy man or woman much easier than he can deal with an old tough man or an old tough godly lady. So I'm telling you that demons are out there, brother. They're doing a terrible job, and they really want to possess you. That's what they want to do. Now, I want to take you to 2 Corinthians because there's something here that really is overwhelming. It really is. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3. I want to read verse 3 if I might. But if our gospel be hid, our gospel. What is the gospel? The good news of Jesus and his saving power. The power of the blood. The power of his grace to change you and make a new creature out of you. That's the gospel. That's the power God has at work. In whom the God of this world has blinded. I'm sorry now. You got to hear this. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not. If you're not a believer, now when I say a believer, I don't mean somebody who just intellectually believes. I mean somebody who has believed to the point of being born again. They have believed to transformation. They have believed to the repentance of their sins. They have believed to being totally changed to a new creature in Christ. Now, that's a believer. A believer is not an intellectual religious person. A believer is not just somebody who believes the Bible. A believer is not just somebody who goes to theological school and learns all the P's and Q's of the Bible. That's not a believer. That's an intellectual, religious person. I'm talking about a believer as somebody changed, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, them which have not been born again, them which have not been washed in the blood. You got to get that now. That's in 2 Corinthians 4 and 4, very plain, lest the light, he's blinded them for what reason? Lest the light of the gospel, lest the light of the gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Jesus Christ the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Christ's sake. Now, the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not. If you're an unbeliever, if you've never been born again. Now, I'm going to go back and say this again. I'm not talking about intellectual faith. I'm talking about heart faith. I'm talking about heart surrender. I'm talking about being made a new creature in Christ. If you have not believed, the Bible says the God, that's Satan, the God of this world, hath blinded the minds of them that believe not. How many people do you try to witness to, and they look at you like you're some dummy? They look at you like you're off in some insane category. They look at you like something's wrong with you. Hey, friend, you better learn the tricks of hell. You better learn the powers of Satan. There is a multitude of you listening to me right now who need to be born again. Had a testimony this week of a man who just got out of prison. I think it was 27 years. And he testified in Fayetteville to another minister that I know and told him he got saved in prison listening to me on the radio. And that made me a happy man. Oh, all glory be to God, not to me. But I can't wait to get to heaven and see how many out there in radio land, in internet land, in Facebook land that have been won to Christ because you heard these wonderful gospel truths straight from the book. I'm not putting on no show here. I'm not trying to make you feel comfortable in your sins. I'm trying to make you feel uncomfortable. Because if you're not an old-fashioned believer, the devil has blinded your minds, or mine, lest ye believe not. Oh, he don't want you to believe. He wants to keep you blind. He wants to keep you completely away from old-fashioned truth. You let a sinner get around an old-fashioned Christian, and he's really, really rebelling and determined to go his own way, and he'll get uncomfortable. Oh, you say, I don't make sinners uncomfortable. Then you're not much of a Christian if you don't make sinners uncomfortable. In fact, you probably aren't even a Christian if you don't make sinners uncomfortable. The Spirit of Christ in you will make them uncomfortable. The Spirit of Christ in you will make them uncomfortable. Just no other way about it. That's just the way it is, my friend. And I cry out to you. I really do. To turn to Christ with all of your heart. Now you see the power of Satan. There's so much I can say. But I want to answer questions. We've got over 30 minutes now. A little over 35. And I want at least 25 or 30 who will call and say, I need help to understand this. You've opened up my mind. You really stirred me up. You got me thinking. I hope I have. It will certainly make me happy to know I've got you thinking, because I'm telling you, it's later than you think. It's later than you think. It's later than you could even imagine, my dear friend. And if ever you've decided and turned to Christ, this hour demands it. This hour demands it. Now your question, 704-391. Oh, I'm going to put up the number here for a moment. 704-391. Let me get it right here. 704-3. No, it was the wrong. Where am I at? Well, I got something wrong there. And I lost my numbers. I don't know what I did. How? You ever do things like that? I lost my numbers. I'll have to tell you. 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588. Okay, you got that? And then the toll-free 1-800-338-7. 884. Sorry, my numbers got lost there. I'll find them later. 704-391-0588 and then 1-800-338-7884. Let's talk about things that will help you in understanding the ways of Satan. The Satan, the God of this world, the Bible calls him. The God of this world. If you're serving this world, the God of this world is certainly in charge of your life. And the God of heaven cannot be in charge of a life in whom the God of this world is in charge of. Now, the phones are open. Call me right now, 704-391-0588. Got three precious ladies in there answering the phone. They're ready to take your call. And I want to offer you something. I want to give you a Bible study that I did Wednesday night a week ago. It was a Bible study on the Trinity of Satan. I'll bring up the picture here. I've got it to show it to you, and then I can read it. Oh, you have to forgive me here. The unholy Trinity. The unholy Trinity. I will give you not just that Bible study, but that timeline in front of you. 8.5 by 11 in color. You can see that. I'll give you that timeline of the unholy Trinity. That's the devil. That's the Antichrist, and that's the false prophet, and I would really like for you to have that. That will help you. That will be a blessing to you, okay? So please call quickly. Let us send you a CD of a Bible study on the unholy Trinity, and then that timeline that will give you scriptures and just a picture to show the timeline of the devil. How the devil has set his course, how he will finish that course at the end of the 7 years. Well, there will be a little interlude at the end of the 1,000 years, but mainly at the end of 7 years when he is literally cast into the bottomless pit and then later into the lake of fire. Now grab your phone. Please do not wait. I want questions from all over my listening audience. I don't want any carelessness. I want you to learn. I want you to know that Satan has been defeated, that he is absolutely lost, that he can do nothing unless you let him do it. You've got to open the door for him to get into your life. You've got to open the door for Satan to get into your life. He may knock on the outside, but he can't move on any way into your mind in any form or fashion unless you let him, unless you give him an opening, unless you make a pathway for him in. You've got to do that, or he can do nothing against you. We hear people say, the devil made me do it. The devil didn't make you do nothing. You let the devil make you do whatever you do. You give him the door. You give him the open way. You give him the opportunity. And you don't have to, because Jesus has defeated Satan. I love it when I read in this Bible of how we have been given the uttermost, I mean absolute victory over the devil. I love the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I read this often when I'm praying. It says, For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war, W-A-R, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that is exalted against the obedience of Christ. Casting down everything. You've got victory in Christ to give the devil nothing but a hard time, brother. You can give him such defeat that he will be boggled by the defeat you give him. And I'm doing it every day that I possibly can. I don't say I don't have some toughies. I do have some toughies. But I want you to know I'm standing for Christ. I really am. Now, I want you to get on your phones. I got lines coming in. A free gift now, that CD on the Unholy Trinity and that timeline on the Unholy Trinity. I couldn't give you something that could help you in your Bible study better. I hope you don't reject it because you don't want to learn about this cockroach. The devil's a cockroach. If he can keep you, he will do everything in his power to keep you. I mean, he will do everything in his power to fool you and defeat you. Let me take a call here, and then I want you to call. I want to answer your question. You say, this is too tough for you. I hope you ask me one so tough, I have to tell you next week I'll have the answer. I really do. That's how I learn. I learn by being asked questions I can't answer, because then I go and find an answer. You are on the air. May I help you, please?
Yes, Pastor Chambers. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Yeah. Hey, I want to have a bug in your ear and everybody listening out there. Isn't it interesting that these preachers who don't want to talk about sin, they would be one of the first ones to tell their children and their loved ones, now don't drink, don't smoke, don't do drugs, because this is what it'll do to you. But yet they won't get up in their pulpits and tell people you're a sinner and your sins are going to send you to hell. They want to be nice to them. They don't want to offend them. I'd rather have somebody offend me and wind up in heaven than not offend me and I spend my eternity in hell going, why didn't you tell me about my sins?
Sir, you couldn't be more right. A preacher that won't preach against sin has no right to call himself a preacher. He is not a preacher. He is a politician at worst, and a psychologist at, you know, maybe a little lesser. Well, both of them are terrible. You see, that kind of stuff is what's driving the church world to hell. It's driving the church world to hell. I want a person who I'm responsible for to know when they're sinners. I went over to McDonald's this morning to get me a biscuit and some French fries. There's a crowd in there, and I start talking about Jesus. I had one man come up, and he was thrilled to death what I was saying. Other people I could tell were a little bit uncomfortable. And they want to know why you're 80-some years old and you don't look that old. I said, because I don't cuss and I don't swear and I don't smoke and I don't drink. And I don't fornicate. I don't sodomize. You know, I don't live in these old sins that are making your life a mess. Any sin that you do is either in the body or without the body. And in both ways, those sins are reducing the level of your lifestyle.
Exactly. I mean, I believe the preachers will actually stand up in front of both. So-called preachers will stand up in front of a group of people and think, well, I don't want to see people and tell them about their sins. Are you crazy? You're going to be held accountable for that.
Absolutely. The Bible says if you don't testify to the sinner that he's going to be lost, that you're going to answer for his sins.
Exactly. Well, I just wanted to pass that on because I know you have a lot of listeners and hopefully some preachers that are listening that are in this way of not wanting to offend people. And I just pray to God they wake up and realize what a terrible thing they're doing to the parishioners and to themselves.
I'm not guilty of it, am I?
Pardon?
I'm not guilty of telling a false story, am I?
That's why I listen to you every Saturday. My wife and I listen to you every Saturday. I look forward. That's my high point of my Saturday. One of my high points is listening to Pastor Chambers, because you tell it like it is, and the people listening to you, if they're not saved or if they're rebellious and they don't listen, they're not going to have any excuse when they stand before.
And I'm not going to have to answer for their sins either.
No, sir.
I'm not going to be responsible for answering for the sins of people whom I didn't tell the truth to. And I've had a lot of people get bothered at me, because I don't put on a show. And I'm a gentleman, though. I'm tender. Oh, I've had such a week of testifying. My little wife had surgery on Thursday to remove a toe, to amputate a toe, because she's a diabetic and has been 64 years. And she got some kind of sore on that toe, and it just destroyed it. I mean, it died. I mean, it was hanging to her body. It was inflaming her whole foot. Her whole foot looked like an inflamed thing when she went into the hospital. And I saw it happening. I knew at that point, hey, brother, you got to do something about this. Well, they removed it Thursday night. But boy, what a week this has been. She's still in the hospital, of course. She's a darling. Her name is Juanita. So anybody wants to send a little note to the Pineville Hospital, room 2103. Just a note now. Send it to her. She'll love it. God bless you, friend. Thank you for standing up for the truth. I love you.
And you keep preaching. You keep preaching. We're going to be praying for your wife.
Please do that. Praise the Lord. Now, God bless you. Got to tell you why you're calling. I want a bunch of calls now. Don't you sit around and not help get involved in this incredible subject of warning people of the power of Satan. Warning people that the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not. Every person out there who is not converted, who is not saved, and who is not under conviction yet, you are blind. That's why you're not under conviction. That's why you're not miserable with your sins. That's why you're not sick of your sins. It's because the devil has blinded you to live in your sins and be comfortable. And I'm trying to disturb your comfort zone. I'm trying to shake you up lovingly and gently and kindly and tell you, don't keep on in this way you're going. Turn around. Now, how many of you out there that you really believe that we've got to tell people the truth about sin? If you believe that, call right now, 704-391-0588, 704-391-0588. And the toll-free number anywhere in America or Canada, 1-800-338-7884, 1-800-338-7884. And anywhere in the world, if you'll just go and get the code to get out of your country, you can dial America then, 391-0588. 0588. Almost gave my home number. Didn't mean to do that, but I wouldn't mind. I get lots of calls. Hey, friend, I want to be a soul winner. How about you? I really do want to be a soul winner. Now, let me take you to a passage. You know, when you begin to see in this Bible how Jesus has set people free and the beauty of how he has set people free, it is a lovely story. It is always so wonderful, always so wonderful. Let me take you to the book of Mark, chapter 7 here and verse 25. But a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. And he said, and Jesus said unto her, let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto the dogs. But she answered and said unto him, yea, Lord, yet the dogs eat under the table, eat of the children's bread. Now, that word dogs there is not a word we would use for dogs. It's more like an unprivileged person, a person of a lower caste, a person who is from a heathen world, a person who is from an unbelieving world. If you are an unbeliever, as I was when I came to Christ, I had nothing to brag about. I had nothing to claim some kind of great standing. All this woman was doing was saying, I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. I'm not worthy of nothing, but let me have some crumbs from the master's table. That's all she was saying. And that's what you need to say. You need to say, I'm a sinner. I've lied. I've cheated. I've cussed. I've sweared. I've fornicated. I've been unfaithful to my wife. I've been unfaithful to my children. I've been a sodomite. Whatever you've been, just tell him you're sorry. And tell him what you've been. Confess your sins, the Bible said. And he will save you. And he will justify you. And he will forgive you. Woo! He'll make a new creature out of you. Do you understand what a message this is? Do you understand how beautiful? See, we see the devil. We see his power. We see how he comes to destroy. How he comes to possess. How he wants to rule your life. We see that. We really do. Now, when we see it, we want to turn to Christ with all of our heart and give him our life now. Give him all we are. And I want to help you with your... If you're a sinner, and you really say, well, man, I've put off so long coming to Christ, and I didn't know I had to get concerned. And I didn't know I had to... See, if the Holy Ghost don't convict you, you're not going to get saved. You say, well, how can I get convicted by the Holy Ghost? Open your heart. Go to a good Bible-believing, gospel-preaching church in the morning. Come hear me preach in the morning. I guarantee you, I'll do everything in my power to make you hungry for the Lord, to make you hungry for Christ. And it'll be gentle. It won't be embarrassing. It won't be ugly. Nobody will embarrass you. Love will meet you at the door of our church. I promise. Okay? Now grab your phone. I want to hear one call after the other. Give you this free CD on the Unholy Trinity in this free timeline on the Unholy Trinity. But then I want to talk to you. I want to hear your question. I want to hear your question. You're important to me, and I want to hear your question, okay? So call me quickly. Please don't waste a minute. I want to spend these last 20-some minutes really in powerful questions and wonderful answers that will stir your soul. Now, I got to tell you, tonight, 6 o'clock now, not late, 6 o'clock, there's a Southern gospel singing at this church. Tonight, we're looking for a house full. We really are. So come early. 6 to about 8, something like that. You'll be able to go home early enough to drive 100 miles if you need to. Come on tonight and be with us. Well, you may want to stay for tomorrow and hear the gospel preached and enjoy the singing and the praising and the hallelujah of God's presence. Hallelujah. So I want you to come tonight and hear the Nesbitt Singers. The Nesbitt Singers. They are a wonderful family, Nesbitt family. You got to come hear them. Oh, I beg of you, don't miss tonight. Nobody out there. I've got this. I don't care what you got planned. Change your plans. Cancel your plans. Cancel your ideas that you already had. Make it. Do something special tonight and come to a gospel sing. I promise you one thing. You'll be glad you came. You'll be glad you came. I promise you, if you're not glad you come and you put money in the offering, come to me after church. I'll give you your money back, okay? Yeah, I got to know you gave it now. So if you want it back, you got to write it in a check. Okay, I'm not going to just hand you money. There might be some people out there just won't want a handout. Hey, come quickly. I want you to be here tonight. And I still got to tell you, I still need a teacher. I got one hired today, but I need one more teacher. Our school is growing. We're looking for the greatest year. Your kids need to be in a Christian school. If you've got your kids in a transgender public school, now you remember, your public school is both transgender and sodomite and same-sex marriage and then a little education, okay? Sodomite, transgender, same-sex marriage, and a little bit of English, a little bit of history, not much, and most of the history has been twisted. You know, they want to throw away all the trophies of the Reformation leaders and everybody that's ever been mighty in America. If they did something that crowd don't like, they want to throw them out. They hate America. That's the problem. They hate America, and they hate the culture of Christianity. Oh, do they hate the culture of Christ? Do they hate the fact that it's a sin to be an abortionist? It's a sin to kill your babies. It's a sin to be a sodomite. They don't want to hear that. And we can't tell you differently because we love you. We care about your soul. You're important to us. I want you to know you need to pray hard for President Trump. That man is doing his best. He's made some mistakes. Nobody would deal with that world up there and not make some mistakes. I don't know. If I was up there, I might get involved in some brawls. I'm telling you right now. That's why I don't need to be up there. I've never seen such insanity in my life, such stupidity. It's overwhelming. But thank God for President Trump. You say, I don't like him. Okay, I'm going to give you that privilege. If you want to be stupid, you go ahead. you know. But I'm promising you, he's doing his best. He really is. Now, don't get mad at me. I love you. If you never agree with me, I love you. I'll be your friend. I love for people to come to church that don't believe in nothing I say, just to listen to me say it, so that they can have an opportunity to know both sides. I really do, because I care about every one of you. I care about every one of you. All of you down east in North Carolina, up in West Virginia and Virginia, up around the D.C. area, Maryland, that area. I tell you one thing, I love you. You're important to me. Now, the lines are empty. I don't know why. Everybody ought to want to call a program like this and learn something more about your enemy. The devil is your enemy. He's an arch enemy. He's a devilish enemy. He's a hellish enemy. Now, I got so many things. You'll get this booklet too, by the way, if you call. There's a booklet here that always goes. But I study. I dig. I try to learn. I wait on the Holy Ghost to teach me. I really do. How do you recognize strongholds in your life? How do you recognize strongholds in your life? Well, let me tell you. Old landmarks of godliness are slipping away. That's a good sign there's a stronghold taking hold of you, because your old-timey standards are slipping. How many out there could say to me, well, I don't believe as strongly as I used to believe? You know why? Because a stronghold from the devil has been working on your mind. Why don't you believe in the clean life you used to believe in? Oh, I've been set free from that. No, you haven't been set free from it by God. You've been set free from it by a strong spirit working against the will of God in your life. That's the devil's business. Anytime you leave the old landmarks, the old biblical standards, you got to understand the devil is responsible for leading you in that fashion. And then there's a growing desire in the world today for a soft life. See, that's demons. Demons want you to live soft. They want to make they want to make it all a piece of cake. They want to make it all simple and plain. They want theology to be just simple stuff, nothing hard and nothing strong and nothing with real strength in it. The soft life, that's the life of Satan. Old-fashioned praying has disappeared. You used to pray. I mean, you'd go to the altar and have the sweetest time with God. You can't do that anymore. What's wrong? Strongholds. The devil. These spirits are getting a hold of you. They're slowly taking you away from what you used to know. You've lost your compassion for the lost. You don't care about sinners no more. They want to go to hell. That's their business. Well, if they want to go to hell, that's your business. You need to help try to make them not want to go to hell. You say, that's a lot of responsibility. I know, but God gave it to us. Jesus made it plain that the gospel is our responsibility to tell it everywhere we go. The Bible becomes a pick and choose book. Anytime that you can treat the Bible like it's your right to choose whatever you want to choose about it, well, I don't believe that. Well, I don't agree with that. You don't have a right to disagree with the Bible, friend. When you disagree with the Bible, you're going to pay the piper. When you disagree with the Bible and you live contrary to the Bible, you cannot go to heaven. Did you know that? You cannot go to heaven and live contrary to the Bible. It's just that simple. Oh, Brother Chambers, you're just old hard preacher. No, I'm a straight preacher. Hey, if you had a mailman that was always changing your mail and bringing you letters that he had rewritten, what would you do about that mailman? Would you not go to the postmaster and say, that man, that mailman you gave to bring mail to my house, he's been changing my mail. He reads my letters and throws away the ones he don't like and rewrites them, makes them sound like he wants them to sound. You'd be furious. Would you not be furious at a preacher who gets in the pulpit and preaches what he wants to preach and don't preach the whole? He's not but a mailman. That's all a preacher is a mailman. A preacher is a mailman. A preacher delivers the Father's mail. Do you hear me? A preacher delivers the Father's mail. And if the preacher delivers anything but the Father's mail, he is absolutely a backslid or unsaved man who's going to be duly responsible to God. Oh, man, am I saying tough things today? I hope I'm just saying what the Spirit of the Lord moves my heart to say, because I'm telling you, it's later than you think. Now, I got about 14 minutes, and I've got to have several calls. And so grab your phone, whatever your question is, whatever is bothering your mind, whatever you're bothered about, whatever I've said that you don't quite understand, you don't quite agree with it. How many agree that the devil is a paranormal creature, and every one of his demons can do paranormal things? things outside of your realm, things that you don't even understand. He can deceive you with things that you'll, he'll make you think they're God talking. And all the time, it's the old devil. I hear so many people today in the religious world that's always telling something they said God told them. And I can tell in a moment's time, God didn't tell you that. I have people call me and say, have you got a word from me today? And I say, yeah, read John 3:16. You know, I'm not God. I'm not delivering the mail I come up with. I'm delivering the mail the Holy Ghost gave me. That's my responsibility. And I'm telling you, it's later than you think. Now, your question. Maybe it's a question about church life. Maybe it's a question about music. Oh, that's a big one today. This new contemporary music has a spirit with it. It has a spirit of compromise in it. Has a spirit of deception in it. It will carry you right down the pipes. Somebody says to me, well, we sing new songs that have a little bit of contemporary ring, but they're not all the way contemporary. You know what those part the way contemporary songs are? They are change agents. They're getting you ready for the hardcore. They're getting you ready for the full trip of your change from old-fashioned gospel, godly Bible singing to singing that's nothing but soft, soulical, contemporary, modern garbage is what it is. The God that they proclaim is a God that they don't even identify him in most cases. They may do it a little bit just to soothe your complaints. But watch that very carefully. You won't hear nothing but old-fashioned singing tonight. I promise you, if somebody gets up and starts singing some old contemporary mess, this preacher will stop them. This preacher will stop them. I'm having to become more dedicated to that than I've ever been because of the hour in which we live. Now, I've brought you straight stuff today, trying my best to show you that Satan will never leave you alone. Whatever he has done, however you've been converted, however you've been changed, even if you were one mightily possessed and wonderfully delivered from that possession, Satan still claims. And Satan will still come around and do his best to take you captive. You know, the Bible speaks of Satan taking you captive at his will. At his will. See, he has a will contrary to God's will. And if he can catch you vulnerable, he can catch you on the downside. He can catch you on the slow half backslid state. He's going to pull something over your eyes, and he's going to have you going the wrong way. And there's thousands listening to me right now. You have compromised so badly, you're not even a little bit like you used to be when you was on fire for God. You're not even a little bit like you used to be when you lived a godly and pure life, separated life. When people looked at you and knew you were different, they knew you'd been transformed. They knew you'd been turned upside down. They knew you'd been changed. Everything about you, from dress to habit to conversation to what you were willing to listen to, everything had been changed. That's how you were when you were truly, wonderfully born again. And if you're not in that state, I beg of you to understand, you are being deceived by the God of this world. You really are. Now, again, I beg of you to get your life so right with God, so close to Christ, so close to the cross. I mean, it is a wonderful life to live close to Jesus and close to the cross. Now, you know, the things about God are so powerful. How many of you that used to love preaching about the rapture and prophecy, and now you don't listen to it anymore, and your preacher don't do any of it? You know what's happened? The stronghold of the devil, Satan, has entered in, got your preacher's mind, got him preaching something beside the old-fashioned word, got him going in the wrong direction, and you're listening to him, and soon he'll have you going in the wrong direction if you don't do something. I tell people, if you're in a church that I'm preaching the truth, you have a responsibility to go to the preacher. And if he won't change and hear you, then you get out. Don't put your money somewhere where it's paying for liberalism. Don't put your money somewhere where it's paying for things that you don't believe in. I beg of you, understand that. Now, I'm waiting on your calls. They've had, I don't know how many calls the secretaries have had for material, but I'm giving you a CD on the Unholy Trinity. It's a teaching, and it really is good. Revelation 12 and 13 are the two chapters that the verses are involved in this study. And you'll see the unholy Trinity. There's a devil, there's a false Christ, and there's a false spirit. And they all are working together right now, working together. And during the tribulation period, they will dominate this world for 7 years. 7 years. And if you're not raptured, then you are subject to be deceived to the point of being damned. That may be that you'll fall on your knees and be willing to die for the gospel. But you've got to be willing to die if you get saved after the rapture. You got to be willing to suffer intently. There's no end to the suffering you will endure if you miss that rapture. I know we're on a weekend right before school starts, and I know a lot of people are off running here and there and hither and thither. I understand that, but I'm here to beg of you to turn to Christ, because school may not start as normal on Monday week. You got to understand, God's judgment is really coming. I am looking any week for the sun to be turned off into darkness right in the middle of the day, and for there to be hours of blackness that's going to scare the socks off of this world. I'm praying for it to happen hurriedly, because I want to see people saved. I want to see people revived. Now, do you understand any of this? Are you aware of what could happen today, tomorrow, the next day? Are you aware of what could take place? You have a question about it? I'd be glad to try to help you understand. I know I've been here so long that those who listen to me regular, you know the things I speak about. You know the truths of this Bible that I talk about. But I do it because I care. I do it because I'm committed. I'm committed. Now, remember school, Christian education. And I need another teacher. If you're out there and you need a qualified teacher, I'd love to talk to you. I need another teacher. And we may need more, because we're growing. We don't know how big we're going to grow. We just want to be whatever God wants us to be. We got people upstairs, if they're still up, they're working right now, redoing a whole high school area. Going to be gorgeous. Man, it really is beautiful. Really beautiful. I'm excited about it. Hired a teacher today for the high school that's going to be dynamite. Math and science. We've learned the subject he's good in. Hey, it's going to be great. And your child will enjoy a school like Paul Creek from K-2 to 12th grade. We need some K-2, K-3 kids for our early training. 2 years old and 3 years old. We got some openings there. We really have several openings there. So you need to call immediately. 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588. Come Monday for a visit of our school. We'll show you the place, and you'll see our teachers, and you'll find out these are dedicated folks, buddy. These are dedicated people. They're here to give it all they got. They really are. And we want you to know more and more about our school. Now, don't miss the singing tonight. And don't miss my preaching in the morning. I love to preach. You know, this, you're looking at a man that'd rather preach than eat. I love preaching this Bible. And I've been pastoring now 60 years in September. And I've never enjoyed preaching as much in my life. I promise you, I'll preach like my coattails on fire. I'll give it all I got. I'll bring you the Word of God with the anointing of the sweet spirit. I got some wonderful people here on the team. I love everybody on this team. I love every person that's become a part of this church. One of the men that's been upstairs working today got saved today a week ago. Got saved last Saturday. He's just fixing to celebrate a week here in about an hour. It was about 3 o'clock in the afternoon on Saturday. He got saved right here in the sanctuary. Hey, you can get saved in the sanctuary this afternoon. Get out of your bed right now. Get off out of your car right now. Get off of your soft seat there, your recliner. Get over here and give your life to Christ. I'd love to pray somebody through this afternoon. That gospel sing tonight, I'm praying the people will be saved. I really am looking for just the sweet outpouring of the sweet love and presence and worship of the Lord. Now, this program has been really kind of special. You understand what I've talked about. I've talked about how the devil always tries to come back when he's been cast out of a person's life. He will seek to trouble you, and you've got to learn that he is lost. He is completely defeated in the name of Jesus and by the blood of Christ and by the Bible. See, there's three things by which we overcome: the work of the Holy Spirit, the work of the blood of Jesus, and the work of the Holy Scripture. When you put those three incredible supernatural powers together, you've got such power, it is dynamite power. It is power to transform the biggest old sinner out there. I don't care what a drunk you are. He'll make you as sober, and you won't need a 10-step program. All you need is 10 minutes in the altar repenting of your sins. Instead of 10 steps, 10 minutes repenting, asking God to forgive you of your old wicked ways, and you're willing to turn to Him and serve Him and live for Him. He'll do it. I promise you He'll do it, and He'll do it with joy. Now, the revival of our church is certainly growing. We are seeing people saved. We are excited about our future. We are looking for God to turn this place upside down and to shake Charlotte to the core. I want to see Charlotte tremble under the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. I want to see the people in high offices in our city get some concern for morality. God needs to convict them. God needs to break through their old stubborn, rebellious, liberal hearts until they understand they can't fight against God but so long. And God is in charge of His world. And He is the prince of the power. The devil is the prince of the power of the air, but God is the God of this world. And the Bible said the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. You hear that? The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Now, praying for you. And not a lot of you have called today, and I know why. I know what period of time this is. I know what's happening right here as we're getting ready for schools. People by the thousands are out there buying things for their kids and for school and get all those things together. I understand all of that. But you've heard the Word of God. You've heard it plain and simple. It will be available on Facebook for hours and days and weeks to come. It'll be present on internet, paulcreek.org, paulcreek.org. It's just available because we are here to bring the Word of God to you. We're here to bless you. We're here to be a blessing to you. We're here for you to grow in the joys and the graces of the Lord and your life to count for Christ. Now, I want to see you tomorrow, tonight and tomorrow. Tonight is 6 now. Don't forget that. Say 6 for me. 6 o'clock. Old-fashioned Southern gospel singing. 6 o'clock. Got it? 6 o'clock this afternoon. I want you to see that. I want you to be here. I don't want you to be late. I want you to enjoy it. I want you to pray for my little Juanita. She's at the hospital in Pineville, the Charlotte Hospital. But she'll be out probably tomorrow or Monday, and she'll be fine. She'll be back on helping her old man. I'm sorry. She'll be out helping me. Oh, do I depend on her great wisdom when it comes to so many things. God bless you, folks. It's been a joy. It really has. I tell you, I think this has been a good program. I know I've said the right things. I know I've really brought you some things that will change your life. And I don't mind you letting me do that when that becomes convenient. Because I want you to get these things of the Lord deep in your heart, transformed and saturated, full of grace, full of His power, full of His righteousness, full of His holiness. I want you to know the Bible is a absolute wonderful book. If you read that Bible like you should, it'll change your life. Now, if you don't understand prophecy, you don't understand the end times, you ought to call and get our book on the masterpiece. The masterpiece. That's the name of a hardcover book on the book of Revelation that the Lord helped me to write. I give Him all the glory. The masterpiece. And study it to understand the book of Revelation. It's verse by verse study of the whole book of Revelation. Okay? And I know it will bless you. And my new book will be ready shortly on the life of Apostle Paul. I am so excited. From cobblestones to streets of gold is going to be the name of it. I want it to be a blessing. I really do. God bless you. Walk with the Lord. Serve the Lord. Live clean. Live a clean life, friends. Don't live an old shabby life and claim Christianity. Don't live an old, immoral life and claim Christianity. Don't dress like those people who have no respect for their body. This body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, folks. This body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. This body don't belong to the God of this world. It don't belong to some cruddy way of dressing and conducting your affairs. No, it don't. It belongs to pure living, to clean living, to set apart living. I want you to know that kind of life. I really do. I want you to know that kind of life. It's a life that you will be thrilled to know and to understand. And I want you, I want your life to be the kind of life that's rich and full of grace and full of mercy. And you'll be amazed at the good things that's available when you begin to live only for Christ. Now, you've got to live only for Christ now. If you don't live only for Christ, you're not going to have the kind of sweet life that you can have. I promise you that. God bless you. It's been a joy. I love you. I love you in the Lord.
Rolling clouds and howling tempest all succeed a bright sunshine in that land of perfect day. When the mist is rolled away, we will understand it better by and by. Oh, by and by, when the morning comes, when all the saints of God are gathered home, we will tell the story how we've overcome, and we'll understand it better by and by. And we are often destitute of the things that life demands, want of shelter and of food, with thirsty hills and barren land. But we're trusting in the Lord, and according to His word, we will understand it better by and by. Oh, yes, by and by, Lord, when the morning comes, when all the saints of God are gathered home, we will tell the story of how we overcome, and we'll understand it better by and by. Trials hard on every hand, and we cannot understand all the ways that God would lead us to that blessed promised land. But He'll guide us with His eye, and we'll follow till we die, and we will understand it better by and by. Oh yes, by and by, Lord, when the morning comes, when all the saints of God are gathered home, then we will tell the story how we overcome. We will understand it better by and by. Oh yes, by and by, when the morning comes, when all the saints of God are gathered home, then we will tell the story of how we overcome, and we will understand it better by and by. And here temptation's hidden snare often takes us unaware, and our hearts are made to bleed by some thoughtless word or deed. And we wonder why the test when we try to do our best, but we'll understand it better by and by. Oh yes, by and by, Lord, when the morning comes, when all the saints of God are gathered home, and we will tell the story of how we overcome, and we'll understand it better
by and by.
On that second verse, we're often destitute of the things that life demands, want of shelter and of food, with thirsty hills and barren land. But we're trusting in the Lord, and according to His word, we will understand it better. Oh, come on, let's sing it. Oh, yes, by and by, Lord, when the morning comes, when all the saints of God are gathered home, then we will tell the story of how we overcome.